to the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, Jay Stevens. Today's guest from the University of Utah Men's Division One club team is Dylan Dix. Dylan, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Dylan, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're not from Utah.
Nope, I'm not. I'm originally from Northern California. Grew up playing there. Spent a little bit of time in Arizona, my U16, and then hopped into juniors. But
where
transplant.
Were you in Arizona? Who did you play?
I played for the Bobcats.
The Bobcats, okay. That's what I was wondering, because that team actually has some ties to Utah.
Yep.
So anyway, we'll talk about that another day. So you played in Arizona, then you came to Utah?
I went to Arizona, and then I went to Corpus Christi, the NAHL. So I started my juniors out of Arizona. But
oh, really? So you played in the NA for?
Just my rookie year, I played in the NA. And then I went up and played in Winkler in the Manitoba League. I got traded at the deadline to the SI.
Last week I had Brian Fulbert from Weber State.
Yeah, I know Fulbert.
And I also played the Manitoba Junior League.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think just under 1,000 years ago. And it's funny. I didn't know you played there.
So yeah, I was there for till the start of the year, till about the I got traded on the deadline, unfortunately, but it was a good time. I loved it up there.
What was it like being traded? And tell me where you got traded to?
So I got traded to Thief River Falls Norskies in the Superior International Junior League. So.
Okay.
Still the CJ, but kind of towards the bottom there. But
yeah. So for those that don't know what it's like to be traded, tell us about like how you found out you were being traded.
Yeah, it's actually pretty crazy. We went into practice on deadline day and practice started. So I thought I was good, thought I made it in the clear. But we were doing a little better than we were supposed to. And I was an 18-year-old import up there. So kind of on the bubble as is. And we kind of made the push to bring in some 20s and I got pushed out. But it's definitely a weird experience. I get off the ice and coach pulls me into his office and, the other GM's on the line and said, we just traded you. Thank you for your time here. Then he kind of walks out of the room, hands it off, and lets me talk to the new GM and coach. And this one was pretty crazy because we were pretty close. I think it was about a 7.5-hour drive. And we were just chatting, saying thank you, excited for the opportunity. And he's like, so when can you be here? And I was like, I don't know. I got to go home. I got to say bye to everyone. I've been here for the last 3 months, like a little bit of roots laid down. But he's like, you'll be here tomorrow morning. And I was like, to my phone, it was like 3:00 already. I was like, I guess. He goes, all right, well, we leave for the road trip tomorrow. So if you can get here in time for practice, that'd be great. So you can get a practice under your belt. So I did, say bye to the whole team, all the coaching staff, rush home, throw everything in my car and say bye to my billets and get on the road. I think I pulled in at like 4 a.m. Got up for 9 a.m. practice and left for a road trip that day. So it was
it was a
pretty crazy
roads
one.
Are always pretty safe to drive anywhere in Manitoba, right?
Pitch black,
it's
a little windy. Luckily it wasn't too big of a snowstorm, so it was a pretty smooth drive. But got pulled over like an hour out. I'm like, oh, 3 a.m. like, just let me get there. But it was definitely a funny story.
Nice. The first time I got treated, and it might be the only time. No. Well, the first time I got traded, I wasn't even playing real hockey. I was playing roller hockey, professional roller hockey. I was playing for Las Vegas, and it was the weirdest thing because, they had us up. We were living in a hotel. So I was living with the other goalie that I was playing with at the time, and I thought everything was going fine. And I got to the arena, and I went to go to my stall, and my gear wasn't there. And this is how shocked I was about all of it. I didn't think I'd been traded. I just thought my gear had been moved, and I didn't understand why. So I'm like, hey, who's messing with my gear? This isn't cool. I got to be ready. I got to make sure I have the right wheels on my skates. And I'm looking around and I'm like, hey, I asked the trainer, I go, hey, where's my gear? And he's like, oh, you'll probably want to talk to the coach. I'm like, why would the coach have my gear? Like, not even clueing in at all. Yet. Like, not at all. And then I walked in and they're like, oh, yeah, we wanted to get a hold of you at the hotel before you came to the arena. If you could call it, we were playing outside. The Thomas and Mack, they built a little roller hockey arena outside there, and they're like, we wanted to tell you before you got here, but yeah, we traded you to Phoenix. And I was like, oh, you can do that, like, in roller hockey? Like, I just didn't...
Yeah, that's
like,
pretty crazy.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty weird, and, I guess it was real... But man, that saved me a lot of money, because I didn't realize how much I was gambling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they'd give me money every day. They just hand me per diem for food, and I would just put it on my number on the roulette table and wonder why I was hungry all day. All right, so how do you end up in Utah?
Kind of a random story. Austin Balco used to be the assistant coach of the Outliers, and he always likes to give me some slack for he's been hounding me for a couple of years trying to get me to come play, and wasn't the most responsive I'd ever been. I was kind of just up in my leagues and playing, and finally after that year, and then I went to the NCDC for the first year of the NCDC out east. Was captain of the Cyclones, and then got traded to Connecticut for the playoff run. And then following that season, I'd gotten moved again to Syracuse, and hadn't heard great things about how things were operating and stuff, and was getting a little burnout and kind of was just at a little bit of a crossroad. And Austin reached out again and said, hey, you know, we're looking for to load up for next year. And
so this puts you at your 20-year?
Yeah, my 20-year-old year. So I came in for the Outliers my 20-year-old year. So I was debating kind of just going to school, or, I mean, I had a lot of D3 offers and stuff, you know, coming out of the NCDC. And I was a little bit of crossroads. I was like, I didn't really know how serious I wanted to take hockey anymore. I was getting a little burnout, you know. Traded second year in the row. It was not the greatest feeling in the world. And so it was a little bit, like I said, again, crossroads. And Austin had reached out and said, just come for a visit. Just come see what we got to offer. Closest I've ever played to home since, you know, 15. So I was, you know what, I'll give it a shot. So I came out and visited, skated with them. I actually visited Ogden while I was here too. And I just loved it. I mean, Paul and Austin had a really good philosophy and a really cool approach to coaching hockey, especially the junior level, and obviously like the Utah Training Center they have there, the whole gym and shooting lanes and all of that was a really cool setup. And it was an opportunity for me to play a big role and wear a letter again. And it just kind of clicked, and it was the right fit. And like I said, close to home was a nice little bonus. My family got to see me play more than they have in a long time. So just kind of, you know, me being in a weird situation, Austin following up on small conversations, and it kind of just clicked.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. So we just had Kevin McClellan or McCluskey on here from the Outliers talking about the program. And, man, it just seems like they're doing things left and right, developing players. And what's really cool is some of them are staying here and finding the University of Utah like you did. And kind of the same thing. You're getting in right as the University of Utah is like, hey, we're ACHA Division One, which is really competitive hockey, and you get a degree, and it's not, you know, you're not dropping $200,000 for a degree.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, mentioned before, I had a lot of D3 offers coming out of school and or coming out of juniors, and like you said, I mean, you're not getting into $200,000 of debt. You're not going to school that's, you know, 3,000 people. You get to have that big college experience, and I mean, Big 12 now, but Pac-12 school when I came, and you get all of those perks that people go to college for, and then you also get to play pretty high in hockey. And especially now where we're at, I mean, freshman year to now seems like night and day, just as far as competitiveness and quality of our game. And, you know, we're finally up there competing with the top end. So it's been really fun.
Can you educate, I don't know how much you looked into any of those Division III schools, but as somebody who's recently gone through, like, okay, I can go here, I'm going to look at this school, and I'm going to look at how much they're offering and how much it's going to cost. Mm-hmm. Can you educate some of our listeners on what that would have been?
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of the D3 schools are smaller private schools. A lot of them have religious ties, but mostly private's the big thing. So I mean, you're looking at $40,000 to $60,000 a year. Usually in those, if not more, I mean, some of those schools are upwards of 70, and that's a year. I don't think I've paid that for my entire 5 years at Utah. So that's kind of the crazy. And then on top of that, I mean, those guys usually carry a roster of, you know, 35 to 40 guys. You're probably not touching the ice until your end of sophomore and junior year, unless you're, you know, one of their top end recruits coming in. So there's advantages to both, and it's a different route for either, you know, when a player chooses it, it can be the right fit for some people, but it's pretty crazy how expensive it gets out there. And like I mentioned, I mean, you're going to a school that has, you know, 3,000 people. I probably have a lecture that big at some point. So it's just a different fit for sure.
Yeah. So, all right, you get to the University of Utah, and you're basically part of the building blocks that they're trying to – like, it's been a few years. I don't remember how many years exactly they've been with the D1 program.
They came in 2016 to D1.
Yeah. Okay. And what year did you start there?
That would have been 2020, 2019.
Okay.
So I mean, a couple years after, we still had majority of our team were D2 recruit players. So it was the class before me was the first purely Division I recruitment class.
Okay. And now, like you said, from then to now, you guys have made tons of progress. So tell us a little bit about this season. What's been going on this year with the Utes?
It's been a great one. I mean, we just wrapped up a regular season a couple weeks ago, finished highest we've ever been ranked at 12th in the country. You know, we beat UNLV, who was ranked number 4 at the time. We beat UCO, who was ranked 3rd in the country at the time. And in our last, you know, 3 weeks of play. So we're playing some really high-end hockey right now. And, I mean, our rookie class this year is really good. I mean, we have big contributors that are our rookies, which is what you need to build a program like that. We are still a very young team, even though, like I said, I've been here for 5 years now. But, I mean, when we play Vegas, I was comparing after we played them. It was kind of crazy. I was looking at their roster, and I was like, they have 18 guys that are either 97s or 98s. And then I looked at our team, and we have 4 guys that are 97s or 98s. And the rest are, we have a big gap, no 99s and then some 2000s and stuff. So from that point, like those high-end teams that we're competing against, we're still a relatively young team. And also, like I mentioned, like our freshman and sophomore classes are really big contributors and play a big role. So it's exciting going forward. But, I mean, those guys are the guys that kind of helped push us to that next level. As I mentioned, we struggled to compete my freshman year. I was still in that transition period. So those recruitment classes coming in, I mean, Morgan Feeney's done an unbelievable job at taking over the helm and settling. I mean, we had some, you know, coaching disruptions the year before. You know, I don't think we went longer than a year with head coach for a little bit there. So to have him come in and be in here, you know, finishing up his 4th year here now, he's done a terrific job as, you know, reestablishing our culture and getting those recruiting guys, getting those high-end talents in to build with that culture and lead to success on the ice. So it's been a long process, and it's been really fun to be a part of and be there for.
Yeah, I bet. That's pretty cool, too. It's always cool when you get to see something from the beginning, right? Like, yeah. Or not, maybe not the beginning, but you get to see a lot of progress from where you came in to where it is now. I think we got to mention AJ too, though.
Oh, yes, of course.
Because that's the guy. He's been on the show a bunch of times, yeah. And I've known AJ for forever. Mm. I played at the U. Man, was that 98 probably? And that was it was a long time ago. But I helped start the Weber State program. Graduated, needed to get my EMT, and the University of Utah was there, and they're like, "Hey, you can still play." And I'm like, awesome. So I got to play it. Man, I had so much fun. And it was so cool. Like, I love Weber. And that's always going to be, like, my pride and joy. But my time at the U was amazing. Like, half the guys on our team were grad students.
Yeah.
They were, they're all doctors and lawyers now, which I use all the time. Like, called one of them this morning. I'm like, hey, I got this weird pain. So I have free doctors and free dental work and free lawyers because I went to the
there
U.
There you go. That's all you can ask for.
It was awesome. But AJ, who, do you know what happened to him? Can you?
I do, yeah. I actually, I just visited him in the hospital.
Did he show you the video?
He did show me the video. It's pretty crazy.
All right, so you describe it. You tell it.
Yeah, I mean, he was leaving TF Brewing and gotten a, well, not even gotten an accident. He was a victim of an accident. A guy comes barreling off the main strip there, hammered, and smokes the back of his car and pins him between a wall there. So, and I mean, it's crazy. Luckily, he's only a light word. He's got a couple of breaks in his pelvis. I think a femur and a tibia. So it's all in one leg. Which, I mean, like you said, if you've seen the video, it looks like it should be a lot more than that. Yeah,
I think he's gonna lose his legs.
Like. So yeah, me and Michael Ertis, one of our juniors. Yeah, one of our juniors, and then Morgan and George Chalice went in. What would that been probably Wednesday or Thursday last week and saw him in the hospital, and he's in good spirits. He's out of the hospital now, left on Saturday, I think. So
crazy.
Pretty crazy. He's already, I think he's walking with a walker. Like, he's not even in a wheelchair or anything. So I was like, it's scary situation. And luckily it turned out probably about as best as it could with the circumstances. Definitely could have been a lot worse. So
well, shout out to AJ. Hopefully he heals 100% and quickly. Is he planning on going to nationals with you
when
guys?
I talked to him, he said it was 50-50, and I looked over at his parents were in the room too, and they're like giving kind of a weird look. So he's going to try his hardest. I mean, to that point, too, I mean, I mentioned the impact Morgan has had, but, I mean, away from the actual hockey, I mean, from a program standpoint, like when my freshman year, we only had the Division I team. We added the women's team my sophomore year, and my junior year, we added the M2 back. So, I mean, the amount of work that's gone into that on AJ's end to not only, you know, Morgan takes care of the hockey side and then the growth there, and then from the bigger perspective, the growth of the whole program has definitely been on AJ's shoulders and the amount of work he puts in. And I mean, going from 1 to 3 teams in a 3-year stretch is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
So it's and successful too. I mean, the D2 team just won the Pac-8 championship. They came up short in regionals, but I mean, to win your conference in probably what is it, the 3rd year they've been a program, is pretty cool. I mean, I think they were light on numbers, like they just got whomped every game the first year, and to turn that around that quickly and be competitive and win a conference that soon is awesome. And the women's team, same way. I mean, they came in light numbers, rough start. I mean, starting program's tough. So
it is tough.
They made back-to-back WWCHL playoff runs now. I mean, they haven't quite cracked the championship game yet, but to be there 2 years in a row after being a program for only 4 years is a pretty cool thing as well.
So let's talk about what's next for you guys. You got a pretty big tournament coming up, right?
Yeah.
This is the first time. And so let's say it was 2019 that the D1 team was created, mm-hmm. or 2016.
2016, yeah.
So in that short of a span, this is the first time that you guys have qualified to go to the national tournament.
Yeah.
And you're on a roll. It's not like you just barely qualified. Yeah. You guys are in it. You've got a chance. How are we feeling about this?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly exciting. We missed nationals by one spot the last 2 years, so this should be our 3rd year. Just come conferences didn't go our way, and we were the first team bumped out 2 years in a row on the last week in rankings. So those were rough, a little tough to swallow, especially the second time. So to be in and soundly in this year is a relief. We don't have to sit there and watch scoreboards and pray. We put ourselves in a position where we were in control of our own destiny the entire season. It's still crazy to me that we made it, and it's really exciting. And my last year here to finally crack it and to be part of bringing, you know, Utah to the national tournament for the first time at the Division I level means a lot. I'm honored to be able to wear the C for the team and to be the guy that gets us there is undescribable. So we head out on Tuesday to St. Louis. So the top 24 teams in the country are going. Like I said, we're sitting at 12. So just missed the first round by a couple spots. But we got Missouri State as our first matchup, and that'll be on the Wednesday. So the Thursday. We'll get there, get a practice in on the Wednesday, and then start the tournament up on Thursday.
So Missouri State, kind of just looking over some of the rankings. Mm-hmm. I looked at, you know, who and when you guys play. They look pretty good.
Yeah, they're having a good year. We didn't play them this year. We had played them last year. They're in our conference, but the other division. So they were one of our cross-division games last year, but we didn't get to see them this year. We swept them in their rank last year, so there's definitely a little bit of bad blood and some. And it was – they're a chippy team, not in a bad way. I wouldn't say cheap, just a physical team. They play a very physical brand of hockey. And they're tight games. I mean, they're a good program, and they got, I think they had the WCHL Rookie of the Year on their team this year.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember the kid's name, but, they got a good recruiting class and added some skill to that grit and, have been playing good hockey. So I like our chances. I like the way we match up against them. But you never know. I mean, it's a national tournament. You got to show up.
So what do you think your strengths are?
We're fast. We're a very fast team. I think that paired with we train at elevation every day.
Yeah.
And I think that helps us. I think our motors run a little hotter than others, and I think we can sustain that pressure throughout the whole 60 minutes where a lot of teams can. I think our legs are there. I think our lungs are there. So I think that's a huge bonus. But as far as play style, we play a very, very fast game. We want to move quick. We got a lot of speed. I mean, playing at home, we have the Olympic ice to our advantage. So we build teams towards speed. And our goaltending's been great this year. Joey Gerlich has played out of his mind. Huge part of why we're here. So I think, you know, solid goaltending, you know, quick, limit your time spent in the D zone and just transition to that offense as quick as you can, I think is our biggest strength.
Is there a way for people to watch it? Is it going to be on Flow Sports or whatever?
I believe it's on Flow TV, that Flow Hockey, I think it might be called. They're a tournament sponsor, so I would assume that's where they're firing it out. So I think it's like flowhockey.tv, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I think you have to pay to watch it, but it's going to be like, if you're a Ute fan and you want to support Utes, this is a good way to do it. And if you've never seen a game, you missed it this season because it was a fun season. You guys are fast. You do have good goaltending. Really good physical games. I've always been impressed with the D1 program. I didn't get to as many games this year as I wanted to. It's kind of funny because getting this role, I thought, man, I'm going to be just immersed in hockey and I'm going to get to know everybody. But it turned out I can only be immersed for like 5 minutes at a time in each thing because I got to get to the next thing and write another article about something else, right?
Yeah, touch on everything.
Yeah. So I don't get to just keep coming to games like I wanted to, but the games that I saw this year, you guys really are impressive. And for, you know, I do watch a lot of hockey. It's hard to notice any difference between you guys and, like I said, watching St. Olaf or Augsburg. I watched some NCAA Division III games. I got kids I know playing in those games as well. And I'm like, it's similar. I don't see much difference.
I think the gap between the ACHA and D3 is shrinking more and more every year. I mean, you got guys like myself who had a bunch of D3 offers and chose this route versus that. You're seeing that become a lot more common than it ever has been before.
Is Che still on your team?
Che, Atlanta Acoustic still is as well. So, I mean, he was, you know, committed Division I to NCAA. Yeah. So it's, you're seeing guys choose that balance of having a bigger, you know, alumni network, having that, like, that big school feel like I talked about before, and still some pretty good hockey. So it's, that gap is shrinking year by year. And I think, I mean, you see these crossover games, like, we have ACHA teams playing NCAA Division I teams. And, I mean, yeah, they're getting it taken to them a bit, but the fact that that's even in a realm that they can be on the same ice surface kind of shows the strength of the ACHA. And I think it was last weekend, Minot State played, Simon Fraser has their like a BCIHL team up in Canada, but they created this new thing this year where they're touring around playing a bunch of NCAA D1 teams. They played NTDP, they played a handful of ACHA, stuff like that. So they're kind of just this mixed, like, almost travel team for college. So they're doing well. I mean, they've beat a NCAA D1 team, and Minot State swept them last weekend. So it's like, the gap, like you mentioned, is getting very small. And guys, like, we have Benji Mickle, transfers from D3, Jake Larilla, transfers from D3. Every single kid we recruited this year had D3 offers. And it's like, you're just seeing these guys more and more frequently either get there and realize, hey, I'm not really loving this and transferring out, or just making that decision from the start and saying, I'm going to go and have something a little more outside of hockey in addition to that hockey. So to your point, I mean, it's getting very close. And I think that trend is only going to continue.
So you go to Nationals, you mentioned before you came here, you're like maybe a little bit burned out, but it seems like you're maybe looking to go further.
I got the spark back for sure. Playing at the U has been awesome. I was lucky enough. I mean, the advantage to not being quite where we are my freshman year is I got to play a big role, and that from the start just kind of sparked it a little bit again, and playing and being somewhere where you're feeling wanted and needed, and you know, after the trades and everything, it gets to your head a little bit and messes with you. So finding a home that I'm at for, you know, an extended period of time, more than half a season, was nice. And it definitely sparked some interest. So right now the focus is Nationals for sure. We don't want to just make it, we want to compete and have a run, and I think we're poised to. Our route there is favorable to us. A couple teams we've seen, a couple new ones, but five games is all it is, so we can string together a couple, you never know. So that's the focus, and then you know, after we wrap that up, I might be exploring some options. We'll kind of see what happens. But
so fifth year, you say you're a grad student.
Yep.
What are we gonna be when we grow up?
That's a good question. What are you gonna be when you grow up?
I haven't figured it out yet.
No,
but you're the one getting
I'm getting my master's in finance, so Graduated last year with my finance and my marketing, and then getting my master's in finance. I'll wrap up this summer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
There's some. This is a good building for a degree like that. This is a big company. They got a lot of they spend a lot of money. They need somebody to balance those books.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm gonna explore hockey for a little bit longer. I think just to say I did fulfill that childhood dream of playing pro hockey. So I'm gonna chase those tails a little bit. I actually have dual citizenship with England. So I think I'm gonna go try to play over in Great Britain next year, which would be pretty fun. So the talks are starting a little bit, but a little early still, and I kind of want to stay focused on Nationals a bit, but in the back of the mind, it's definitely an exciting opportunity coming up. So
yeah, and we have a lot of ties. Like I know Kevin was just telling you, but there are a lot of players that come from here that end up playing a few games over in England or the Netherlands or whatever. Yeah. Once you get over there, there's a lot of opportunities. Around. As long as you can get, if you have the dual citizenship, that opens a lot of doors.
Yeah, it helps. Unfortunately, England's got some weird rule. They had to be UK grown, I think is their term.
Oh,
so
really?
I'm unfortunately still considered an import. But that's as
newish.
Far as it is newish,
but
yeah.
At least you don't need to change your visa or anything.
Exactly. I don't need to worry about a visa and I can work on the side without, a problem. And so it definitely makes life easier. Not quite as easy as it used to be. Still got to fight with those, other imports for spots, but,
that person sucks. But Dave Amani, he's on the show quite frequently. Mm-hmm. He knows that landscape and
Yeah, I've had a couple conversations with him and just kind of lay of the land where I fit into the whole puzzle. Cause I mean, there's like five tiers of leagues over there.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this rule and that rule and this team and this team. So it's definitely an overwhelming thing. So I've had a couple conversations with him to kind of clarify what means what and kind of where I fit into the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. All right. Well, tournament starts next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Do you guys leave Tuesday?
Yeah, we leave Tuesday. So we got practice tomorrow, practice Monday, Tuesday, and then we're off one practice Wednesday there. So right now, just focusing on dialing up our game. And obviously, we know who we're playing at least the first two rounds. We got Missouri State and then Vegas if we advance. So, we've been looking at their film and, tweaking our systems. You know how hockey is. You gotta match who you're playing. So we're buttoning that up and putting the finishing touches on how we want to play and not tailor it too much. And at the end of the day, we are a good hockey team. We've gotten to where we are because of how we play. So you don't want to change your play style too much for who you're playing. You want to hone it, but at the end of the day, you want to play with what got you there. So right now it's just focusing on wrapping up that stuff and then fundraising a little bit too. It's
a
pricey trip for sure. Luckily, I mean, again, it's an honor to be to get the bid and to go, but the runs are a little rough, so we're doing some fun.
What are you guys doing for fundraising?
We have a link I can share with you potentially. To try to get doing some bringing some donations. We are 501c3 nonprofit, being a club at the school, so that helps a little bit as far as donation purposes can be tax write offs and stuff like that. So the tough part about the way it works out is we only found out last week we're going, so you got to kind of try to kick it into gear. Don't have
quick
a lot of time.
Yeah,
quick turnaround. So we're definitely gonna be doing some stuff on the way back. To kind of pay those bills off, I think. So we'll be exploring some more fundraising. But
George
right now,
is just gonna put it on his card. So.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Someone's throwing it on someone's card. It's not mine.
Yeah.
But we'll worry about that when you cross that bridge. But right now, just given the kind of short time span, we're just hoping for asking the community for donations and just trying to raise what we can to chip away at it. And then,
do you know, is that link on like the Utah hockey website?
I believe we put out a press release on Sunday that has the link in it on our website, but I can also share it with you.
We'll make sure it goes up.
That would be awesome.
Podcast.
We appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I think flights alone were like $14,000 or something like that. It's astronomical when you're moving with 40 plus people and a bunch of gear, it can get up there. So anything that anyone can donate would be a huge help and great appreciation.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure we get that link up. And man, Dylan, congratulations on an awesome hockey career to this point. Congratulations on an awesome hockey season. Like, it's awesome. I just love watching you guys play, and it's fun, like we were talking about before. It just so happened to be one of the times I went out and e-bugged for the Outliers.
Yep.
I always thought it was weird when Kevin would call me like, hey, we need a goalie. And I'm like, I am 50 years old. why am I going out with juniors? But he's like, we just don't have anybody. Can you come out?
It was a lifesaver. It was pretty funny. We had heard you were coming out. We're like, that's kind of crazy. Yeah. It worked out. It was fun.
But. And I'm like, normally I get that call. Like, that's what I do for the Grizzlies. Yeah. And I love it. And I was like, all right, this is going to be super awkward for juniors again. But I had a good time. I think I did it a couple times. And you were there.
I was there for one of them. I think, it was early in the year. I think we had a goalie get hurt and one was on the way. Kind of quite made it. Yeah,
something like that. And that's that's how my name always comes up with the Grizzlies. Somebody's hurt. Somebody's on the way. But I'll just fill it.
Exactly. You got to do what you got to do.
All right. Well, good luck, man. And again, congratulations on the success so far. And good luck on whatever's next.
I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
All right. And that is the Utah Puck Report.
Oh, man.